Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, last week on the July 4 holiday, Independence Day, I broke into our First Peter study to talk about how to change America, what Christians need to be focusing on if we hope to see change in our beloved nation. There are many solutions proposed and many activities that Christians involve themselves in, but I'm afraid that many times what we are doing is just simply spinning our tires and not accomplishing anything because we are focusing upon the wrong thing. We are oftentimes dealing only with symptoms and not with the things that really get to the heart of the matter. And so I'm trying to help us to think this thing through and by the grace of God be more focused upon those areas that might truly be used of God to bring about change in the United States of America, recognizing, of course, that ultimately change can only be produced by the Spirit of God working in the hearts of people, and God will have to bring about revival, but there are things that we can do to move in the right direction, and I'm trying to help us to focus upon those things. So we continue that series on this Monday, July 8th, thanking you for joining us and especially thanking those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. On Friday, I suggested to you that there needs to be reformation among the churches of America if we hope to see a change in our nation. Too many times we are focusing upon what's wrong with those people out there and not giving enough attention to what's wrong with us in here. And I'm talking about those who are in the churches. Those who are inside rather than those who are outside. We tend to view our nation's decline as being decline that takes place out there in government, out there in the public schools, out there in Hollywood, out there in the business world, out there in the entertainment world, and so forth and so on. We tend to view the problems as being out there and don't ever consider that maybe the problem is in here. And think about it, which is more important, for the world to pay attention to what God says or for God's people to pay attention to what God says? Now, hopefully and ideally, everybody will pay attention to what God says, but just being realistic, what is more necessary? What is more pleasing to God? What is God most likely to require? He tells us that judgment begins at the house of God. We want judgment to begin at the house of legislature. We want judgment to begin at the house of the Supreme Court. We want judgment to begin at the house of Hollywood. And we forget that judgment must begin at the house of God. And so Friday I suggested to you that two areas that we need to give more attention to are that, according to the Scriptures, churches are to be centers for learning Scripture. One of the primary reasons for our assembling together with the saints of God in what we call the church, going to church, which really isn't the best way of putting it. We need to understand that we are the church. Church isn't something we go to. Church is something we are. But church is something that we who are members of the church attend. We assemble ourselves together because that's exactly what the Scripture commands us to do. But when we do that, what should be our primary focus? And though there are a number of things that we ought to be doing, a primary focus needs to be to learn the Word of God. And churches are supposed to be centers of teaching God's Word to God's people. And I'm afraid many of our churches have lost that focus. The second thing I suggested to you is that churches are to be societies for loving relationships, and that we are to concentrate more upon ministering to one another within the body than we are trying to reach those who are outside the body. Now again, don't misunderstand me. We are to be engaged in evangelism. And if you heard the broadcast Friday, you recognize that I talked about that. We are to be engaged in evangelism, but the assembly of the saints is the assembly of the saints, not the assembly of the sinners. Does that mean that sinners are unwelcome? No, they're welcome, but we don't focus upon them, and that's where the big problem has come in my estimation, by, number one, saying that the purpose of the church is to reach the world with the gospel, which is true. We have then secondly said the purpose of the church meeting is primarily to reach the world with the gospel, which is not true. That's not the primary purpose of the meeting of the church. That's the primary purpose of the church, meaning every one of us who are members of the body of Christ, every one of us who are the church, back to that concept that we are the church. Church isn't something that we attend. Church is who we are. And because we are the church, we come to the church meeting to be taught the Word of God, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be edified, to be built up, so that as we go back to our homes and jobs and schools and communities, we can, in that location, more effectively reach the unbeliever with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the picture that we find in the Bible, but many times that's not the picture that we're trying to reproduce in our churches. So churches need to become centers for biblical instruction more than evangelism. Churches need to become societies for loving relationships between believers, again, more than evangelism. And number three, and this is vitally important, according to Scripture, churches must expose false doctrine. Churches are to be places where the defense of the faith is taking place. You see, not only must churches teach God's Word accurately, but there must also be a confrontation of those who distort it, which is, admittedly, primarily the responsibility of pastors. In Titus chapter 1, Paul gives qualifications for pastors, and he says in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. One of the qualifications for pastors is that they have to be skilled in confronting error and false teachers. But they succeed in doing that only when congregations support them in this business of confronting and correcting heretics. Sound Christian doctrine is a treasure that must be guarded. And those who teach contrary doctrine are a threat not only to individual believers, but are a threat to the Christian faith as a whole. If false doctrine is allowed to spread unchallenged, eventually the church will become so corrupt that no one will be able to discern truth from error. And I'm afraid that's about where we are today. This is already the case in many churches that have departed from the Bible. This condition is called apostasy. Thousands of churches in America have drifted so far from their orthodox beginnings, their orthodox foundational heritage, if you trace it back, you'd find out where they came from, that their members have almost no concept of what the Bible teaches. Major Christian doctrines are denied or considered optional, and biblical requirements for Christian living have long been ignored. Sexual immorality is considered acceptable, but disapproval of immoral lifestyles is deemed unloving and unchristian. Now, how does this happen? This is not what you find in Scripture. Well, by failing to confront and expose false doctrine when it first appears, this is what happens. It is like leaven, which, if it is allowed to remain, quickly infects the whole lump of dough. Thus, we have churches teaching contradictory assertions about the Christian faith. One church says that Jesus Christ is God, while another says he's only a prophet sent by God. One church teaches that Jesus rose bodily from the tomb, but the church across the street says that the resurrection is nothing more than the spiritual influence of Christ's presence living in the hearts of his followers. One church teaches that homosexual practices are sinful, while another says they are acceptable. No wonder the world is confused about Christianity. If we hope to see our nation changed, churches must be committed to Bible truth and willing to defend the Christian faith against those who call themselves Christians but teach unsound doctrine. It's not enough just to teach our own people, but we have to be willing to stand up and say, that teaching is wrong. What that man teaches is wrong. What that church teaches is wrong. We don't want to do that. That's considered to be unloving. But when we don't, we end up with great confusion. So churches must be willing to confront false doctrine. And finally, churches must be willing to discipline unrepentant rebels. And this requirement may be the hardest of all. But Christ requires churches to deal with the flagrant sins of its members. It is scandalous to have members living in immorality and churches failing to call them to repentance. It dishonors Christ to have professing Christians with a reputation in the community for dishonest business practices, and that churches fail to investigate and insist upon repentance and change. Confrontation is admittedly difficult, maybe the most difficult thing that we'll ever do. And most Christians would rather take a beating than confront a wayward church member, but obedience to Christ and love for the church demands that we be willing to biblically confront and deal with those whose lives disgrace the name of Christ. Ideally, loving confrontation will result in repentance and restoration. And that's what we pray for, that's what we long for. But when it is met with resistance and rebellion, action must be taken to remove from membership those offenders who will not repent. That's what the Bible requires. Loyalty to Christ requires our humble and courageous obedience. The health of the church is at stake, as well as the church's reputation before the watching world. Today the world has little respect for the church. Why should it? The church is too much like the world, more interested in being cool than faithful. If we love our nation and hope to see it changed, we must first purify our churches according to Christ's instructions. And so the question is, will you commit yourself to this task whenever and wherever God has planted you, whatever church he has put you in? We are in a battle for the survival of our nation. But what we're really in is a battle for the survival of Christianity within our nation. And if we who are Christians, and we who are church members, are not willing to acknowledge that and deal with these things from a biblical standpoint, how can we expect the world to pay attention to God's standards, to what he requires of people? We can't. This is where we must begin. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.